One of the great literary tools of the Bible and of the teachings of Jesus that we find throughout the Bible and throughout Jesus' teaching wherever he was is comparison. Jesus uses it as a tool to teach the people. The Bible today uses it as a tool to teach us, comparing this with that, the good with the bad, showing the benefits of this certain thing. If something is one way, the result will be that certain way. If it's some other way, the result will be another way. That's one of the great ways that the Bible guides us, and one of the importance, one of the things that makes it so important that we read the Bible, because time and time again, we find ourselves in the Bible and the stories and say, yeah, I know how that person felt because I'm in the same predicament, I'm in the same situation, and now I can see how they acted and the result of their actions. And I think Job is one example. I think Jonah's another. Jonah ran from God, and we know what happened. Job stayed firm in his faith and would not curse God, and we saw the result of that. We see the comparisons in the Bible that teach us. And in our text today, we find Jesus using comparison to teach about the blessings of practicing or applying what he teaches. Jesus is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount here. In Matthew chapter 7, remember, he's taught, he went up on this mount. Various texts place him in different locations, but nonetheless, he had the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are these, blessed are these. And he's teaching there on the Sermon on the Mount. We find it at the very beginning of chapter 5. He's teaching about the picture of kingdom life, those that are blessed. He teaches about the law of Moses, the law of murder, the law of reconciliation, the law of adultery, the law of divorce, the law of oaths, non-resistance, the law of love. He teaches about the practice of kingdom life in giving, prayer, fasting, how to handle money, about worrying, about judging others. And he comes to the end of this teaching time in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, so in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The golden rule, we know that as. A lot of people live by the golden rule, or so they try. They say this is the greatest good in life, to live by the golden rule, and they don't even have a clue that that's what Jesus taught. And herein lies a problem, because if they're trying to live by the golden rule and it's not for the glory of God or God's kingdom, then what's it all going to amount to? We say, well, it's going to bring good in life, and yes, it may. But our ultimate goal in life is to glorify God. Jesus teaches about the narrow gate and the wide gate, and says, enter through the narrow gate. He teaches in the comparison between false prophets and true prophets. And in our text today, after teaching these things, he's telling the people, here's what I want you to do. I want you to practice all these things that I've been teaching you. See, people say to me often, I don't know what Jesus wants me to do. I don't know what he has for me to do in life. I don't know what to do. And I say, it's simple. All you have to do is go to the Bible and go to the red letters, the words in red, and you'll find it there. That's what he's telling the people. Practice what I've just taught you. Practice these things. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. People struggle with this. What's the will of God in my life? The will of God in every human being's life is to follow Jesus and obey Jesus' teachings. Remember the great commandment, or the great commission, in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus met with the disciples after he was resurrected. He said, I'm sending you out. Go into the world, teaching the good news. Teach others to obey what I've commanded you. Jesus' teaching was always that. Repent and believe and obey what I've taught you. And he says that many of you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do my Father's will. I'm really not your Lord, because you're not doing what I've asked you to do. Many will say to me on that day, he's speaking of the day when the Lord comes back again to judge. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name, drive out demons, and perform many miracles? They're saying to him, basically, Jesus, we did. We did these things. We did these works. We did the good works, all the good things. Jesus says, I tell you plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, that word evildoers implies those who break the law, lawbreakers, sinners, those who rebel against God's laws. And when we rebel against God's laws, we rebel against Jesus, what he's teaching us. And what did Jesus teach us? Do to others what you would have them to do to you. For the son of the law and the prophets. He did not say, do to others what they would do to you. He says, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. And he's saying, get away from me, you evildoers, because you didn't live like this. You didn't do this. Yeah, you went out and did the good works, but it wasn't for the glory of the kingdom. You're calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't even know me. You don't even know me. People call Jesus Lord. They claim to be Christians, and they never open their Bible. Some only open it once a week on Sunday morning. Some maybe a couple times a week, maybe when they're reading their daily devotions. But they really don't know Jesus. And Jesus uses a comparison here to teach. He's at the end of all that he's taught on the Sermon on the Mount, giving a comparison between the wise and the foolish, being wise and being foolish. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, as the King James Version says, and doeth them, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell in a great crash. Now, there's some things evident here. The rain's going to come down, the winds are going to blow. You see, these things are going to happen. But it's the one who builds on a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is practicing what Jesus teaches us to do. It's the strength that we base our daily lives on. What the works are based on, or rooted on, or grounded, or founded in, makes all the difference in our lives. When we're rooted in Jesus Christ, when our foundation is in Jesus, everything we do is going to be for his glory and not ours. See? And we don't take the credit. We don't pat ourselves on the back. We say it's only by the grace of God and the power of Christ in my life that I do these things, and it's for the glory of the Lord. The wise man is the one he describes as the person who puts Jesus' teachings into practice. He's saying, the person who practices all these things that I just taught you is a wise man. And he's going to stand firm, and he's going to be strong, and he's going to survive the storms of life. The foolish man's the one who hears what I just said, but yet continues to build on uncertain things. The wise man or the wise person is those who practice what Jesus taught. Many of you have heard this new age term, fake it till you make it. There was one of the great men of faith, I don't remember who it was, who struggled with living out their faith. And one of their good friends said to them, listen, it's all about faking it till you make it. You fake it till you make it, you just do it. You just keep doing it, you just keep doing it, and sooner or later you'll get it. That is the most absurd thing that we've come up with in our culture. Fake it till you make it. Fake being a Christian until you make it? That's so ridiculous, folks. But we like those little cliches, you know? We put them on our bulletin boards and we read them in devotions and all these kind of things. Fake it till you make it. I got a question for you. You walk into the doctor's office. That's his practice, right? On the wall are his degrees. You know he's graduated from this college and this college and this college. He's got the knowledge, and what he's doing is living out what he's been taught, and in a practice, he's doing what he's learned and what he's been taught. If you walked into a doctor's office and you said, "Are you really a doctor? I don't see anything on the wall." And the doctor said to you, "No, I'm not really. I'm just faking it because I've been told if I fake it, I can fake it till I make it. Sooner or later, I'll be a doctor." How many of you are going to stay with a person like that? You understand what I'm saying? You don't fake Christianity. That's the problem today in the 21st century. There's too many people trying to fake being a Christian in the world, seeing right through them. They can see right through them. And the problem is their foundation is not on Jesus Christ. Their foundation is built on culture. It's built on the teachings of the books of the bestseller lists that we read so much. See? I walked into Panera Bread last Saturday morning out in Delaware, Ohio. There were several groups, men's groups, doing Bible studies there. It was pretty interesting. And I sat by myself with a large group of four men sitting behind me. Their Bibles were closed. I assumed they were already done. And sat there for half an hour before they all left. I didn't hear one word about God or Jesus in the conversation. They left, there was another group in the back that was doing Bible study, and when they left, there was one man stayed behind. He had his Bible on the table, and he had a book there he was getting ready to read. So the Holy Spirit nudged me to talk to this young man. So I walked over to him, and I said, "Excuse me, I said, I see you've been reading your Bible here. Can I ask you some questions?" And he said, "Sure. Sit down." So I sat down and I said, "I got to ask you, with so many good books out there in our culture today, and so much good reading to help us through our daily lives, why in the world would I ever want to read the Bible?" "Well, it's truth. It's true. It's the Word of God." And I said, "Yeah, but there's all this other good stuff out there that's relevant today." "Well, but this is truth. It's the Word of God, and we read it and we believe it." And I went on in this conversation, and I said to him, "So in other words, if I told you I was a preacher from Pennsylvania, you'd believe me?" He said, "Yeah, I believe you." And I said, "Why?" "Well, you look sincere. You look honest enough." And I'm cringing inside that this young man whose father was a minister in a missionary setting in a large denomination that I'm not going to name. And this young man, as I tried to pull it out of him, that he believed the Bible because he's applied it to his life and he's practiced it and found it to be true, never said that. He just believed it because somebody told him. We are living in a culture where people are being told all kinds of things and they're believing that. But one of the things, folks, that is true about this, that Jesus tells us, is when you put this into practice, you are going to be foundational and standing on something more firm than the whole world can provide. Folks, we don't believe this because somebody in Sunday school told us that it's true. We don't believe it because Pastor White stands up and says, "You've got to believe this because it's true." We believe it because we apply it and we find out it is true. Unlike anything else out in the world, when we apply, we find out it is a failure. Because when the storms come and the winds blow and the things in life are pounding at us, we find this is true and all the other things are not. We might find happiness for a while in the culture, but we will never find the joy that can be found in Jesus Christ, who is the revelation of God's Son in the Bible. It's all about application. And Jesus says, "You're wise if you apply these things I teach to your lives, you will find out. They will be the strength in your life. If not, you're going to get washed away." James references this kind of thinking. In chapter 1, he says, "Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Don't just listen and deceive yourselves. Right there's exactly what I was talking about. Don't just listen to it when we read it. Don't just read it and forget about it. He says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like the man who looks at his face in a mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. You see, we can't forget what Jesus is telling us here. We have to apply it to our lives, and when we apply it to our lives, we find a divine power in our lives unlike anything else. He says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, he's going to be blessed in what he does. When somebody purchases a house, the bank has the house inspected. And one of the most important parts, if not the most important part, is the foundation. If a house does not have a good foundation, its value declines extremely. You see, because what's the house on? The foundation. And if the foundation fails, the whole house is going to fail. And it's important in our lives that the foundation in our lives is the teaching of Jesus. And we know that's hard to obey them. We know that's hard to live by them. I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want to share a couple examples with you here. First, I don't know how many of you have ever played the game Jenga. Jenga, you build a tower out of these wooden things that cross, and you take turns pulling pieces out. And you try to set your opponent up so that when they pull their piece, it falls down, you see. And we learn about things properly placed. Well, that's our lives, and that's how our lives are, as things in life start pulling us apart. They start pulling the pieces out of our lives, you see. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves so unstable, and we say, I just wish I could find some stability in life. And Jesus says, I'm right here, I'm holding you. I'm holding you up. I'm keeping you steady and firm. You see. Some of you know one of the hobbies that I've gotten involved in is building wood duck boxes, putting them up around the valley at the various streams and propagating wood ducks. Nothing gives me greater joy than to walk along a stream where there's been a box and see a bunch of little ducklings swimming, and then go back in the summertime and open the box up, and there are the eggshells and the membranes. It's really cool, really neat. Well, this past spring, I put one of those boxes on a dead tree. I was trying to find a tree that was a certain size, that went up and had no limbs, and was kind of standing by itself so that bobcats or raccoons could not get from other trees over to the box and get in the box. So I found a tree that was dead, and it was about that big around at the bottom, and it went up, and it probably went up almost as tall as this ceiling. But it was all by itself standing there, and I put a duck box on it and prepared it. Lo and behold, it stood all through the spring up until just a couple weeks ago. Through all the rain and all the storms, I went one day to check on it. The tree had busted off on the ground and was gone. I guess it's probably down in the river by now. Tree, box, and all. I don't know whether it was because of the storms. I don't know whether a predator, a bear, or something got into it. I don't know whether someone who simply is not practicing what Jesus teaches came up and busted the tree off just out of meanness. I don't know what happened. The problem there was it was on a dead tree. I was expecting life from a dead tree. The foundation was not a good one. That's what Jesus was teaching here, the comparison between being wise and foolish, and our wisdom being putting our trust and the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ and practicing what Jesus teaches us. Paul talks about this, describing the church in Ephesians. He says, we're no longer foreigners and aliens. We're fellow citizens with God's people. We're members of God's household. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews all being brought together and built up, you see. And the more we're built up with in the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus being that key piece, the cornerstone, the more we rise to glorify God. Well, the hard part is doing this, isn't it? The hard part is doing this, practicing what Jesus teaches. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. But the Bible tells us we're going to have troubles. We need to trust in Jesus because he's overcome the world. Over and over again, the Bible tells us to just keep trusting in Jesus and just keep moving forward. The enemy wants us to be wallowing down in our sin and the fact that we failed. But all through the Bible, it tells us that if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and gives us the power and the confidence to move forward. And it's a day-by-day struggle. Day-by-day sometimes, hour-by-hour sometimes, minute-by-minute. It's a struggle to practice and be obedient to Jesus Christ. But you see, like a child, even though the child disobeys the parent, they're still the child because they've been born of the parent. And John tells us to those who receive him and believe in him, God gave the right to become children of God. See, we have an identity in Jesus Christ, and he's not going to let us out of his hands. He's going to keep using us and molding us. We call this sanctification as we go through life. What Jesus is saying here is we are to practice, to live our lives out, to work toward glorifying God with the foundation of Jesus Christ as our goal. And it's not only essential that the church have this foundation, but Christians have that solid foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. If Christ is not the foundational reason that we do things for the kingdom of God, then what does our life account for? What does anything here on earth account for unless we are doing it for the glory of God? You see, all we do and say is to be grounded in our following Jesus, who through love built others up. We try to follow the law by doing good works, but Jesus had just said to do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. We try and do all the works. We try and do all the good things, but we don't act outwardly toward others like Jesus wants us to act, do we? We're not showing love. We're not forgiving. We're not using our money like he teaches us. We're not praying like he teaches us. You can follow the law all you want, try to be perfect and not sin all you want. The people did these great things, and Jesus said, I never knew them. Why? Because their motive was not glorifying God, but glorifying themselves. Doing these things through loving others will have lasting effects in our lives and in the lives of others. Christian faith isn't just something that we have. It's something we live out biblically. Faith without works is dead. In other words, it's a dead faith. You see. And if you want to know how to live, open the Bible and apply it to your life. You see in verse 12, he says, So, regarding everything I've taught you, now, so, in everything, in all this, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Anyone who practices this kind of living, Jesus says, is wise and has a solid foundation and will stand the test of time and stand in the storms of life. Not only will we be solid in our faith, but we're going to help to build up the kingdom of God with Christ as the chief cornerstone. And the work that we do will not only glorify God, it'll identify us as his children. People will see and they'll know. As the song says, they'll know we're Christians by our love. Not by our works, by our love. And not only will we be solid in our faith, we'll help to build the kingdom of God. If you struggle with knowing what Jesus wants you to do, come and see me. It's all right here. It's a great blessing to find freedom to know that we are his sheep. But somebody doesn't want you to be free. You see, somebody wants you to work and work and work and work and struggle and work and struggle and work and work and work, because then you see you're distracted from the truth. And Jesus said, the truth sets us free. There's some great teachings here in these passages of Jesus, and he says to practice what I've taught you. If you remember the night before he died, one of the last things he taught his disciples, he gave them a new mandate on Monday, Thursday. I'm giving you a new command. Love others as I love you. Love others as I've loved you. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Love others as I love you, Jesus said. That sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus said to the evildoers, the people who didn't love Jesus and they didn't love others, he said, get away from me. You did all this for the wrong reasons. You did not do them for my glory. I didn't know you. Get away from me. Let me ask you this, gentlemen, before you leave, ask yourself, what's my house look like? When others stand back and look at me, what do they see? What do they hear? What do they feel? Do they see Jesus in me? Do my words speak to the glory of God, give testimony to what God has done in my life? Or am I living for the culture, glorifying self? Am I wise or am I foolish? Let's pray.